Welcome to today's Sunday 15. This is Lincoln Lawing coming at you, sitting right beside my main man, Austin Robinson. Austin, how you doing today, big dog?
Doing good. Doing good.
Things going well for you?
Yep. Yep. Things going good.
All right, so we're going to continue with on our Sunday 15. It's wherever you are, playing ball, watching ball, coaching ball, tuning in today for a message from God's Word and some illustrations from two regular guys like me and Austin. So I'm going to start with something that's going to sound weird, but you got to stay with me. It's called Hunt the Yeti, Hit the Fastball. All right, Hunt the Yeti, Hit the Fastball. Verse of focus is Colossians 3:23. You may have heard this before. Whatever you do, do it from the heart as something done for the Lord and not for people. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, do it from the heart as something done for the Lord and not for people. All right, so hunt the Yeti, hit the fastball. Here's what this means. If you know me at all, you know I talk about hunting the Yeti. And you're like, what the heck is that? The Yeti is a metaphor for anything in your life that you know you should be chasing, right? Like the desires deep down in your heart. The things that may not make sense on paper, but you know God's urging you to do it. Whether it's chasing something hard or making changes in your life, starting something you need to start, stopping something you need to stop. The Yeti is all, you're laying down, the lights are off, you're trying to go to sleep, and it's burning at your heart. You get that, Austin? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. And I also do, one day I would like to hunt a Bigfoot and slay one, because that's the only way we will know that if one exists. But that's another story for another day. So hunt the Yeti, hit the fastball. Playing ball, it's very important to not get beat on the fastball. Okay, you can learn to do a lot of different things. You hit the ball the other way, you stay back on off speed stuff. But at the end of the day, when I was at the peak of my power hitting career, which was short lived and I didn't have a lot of power, I had one thing. I was going to find a fastball that I could reach. And when I got it, I was going to hit it as far as I could. And I didn't miss. So no matter what I was looking for and what I needed to do at the plate, I knew I was going to hit the fastball. So I'm going to start off by this. Austin, tell me about the best, sweetest spot on the barrel, best fastball you ever teed off on. Practice, game, wiffle ball, whatever. Tell me about it.
Yeah, so like I've mentioned in previous episodes, I was not a good baseball player. I was an average player, played with a bunch of good players. But this is not the highlight of my career, so don't take it the wrong way. But the one time that it was rare for me to square up a fastball, but the one time that I remember was in practice, which it didn't even count, but still, it's pretty cool. It was the last practice of my baseball career. It was my senior year. We were practicing right before we headed up to Raleigh for the state championship, and our head coach was throwing us BP, and we kind of had a little thing going all year with all the players. He would try to get us out. You know, we just made it kind of a competition at different times. But he was throwing to us, and I squared up a fastball and hit one out in right center, and it was the farthest ball I've ever hit in my life, the only home run I've ever hit in my life. That was – it was one of those swings that all baseball players at some point throughout their baseball journey have, you know, it's a good pitch that you squared up when you don't feel anything, when it's so smooth that you don't even feel the ringing in your hands from the bat. That was the one pitch that I remember that I squared up, and it was a perfect fastball. And so, yeah, that's the one pitch I remember.
You hit left-handed?
Yep.
Yep, I thought so. Okay, I thought you were right center. I didn't think you were oppo power man.
No, okay. Not even close.
No, that's pretty cool. I think about mine, okay, I was playing Dixie Pre-Majors one summer in Lake Waccamaw at East Columbus High School. First at bat, I walk. Second at bat, I run to count full and fight off a couple off-speed pitches. I get a curveball out of couple inches outside, but with two strikes, you got to swing, poke it between the first and second baseman. Man, I felt like $1 million, right? Like that's what that'd been my nemesis all year, was hitting that ball the other way. So I did that. So next time up, never forget it. First pitch, dude tried to sneak a fastball by me. I hit I got every bit of it off the field house way back behind left field. I mean, I was just trotting the bases thinking I've arrived in life. This is the pinnacle of life. I just and I was always paranoid about not getting beat by the fastball. When I was on deck one time, we were playing this team in the playoffs. They put in a new pitcher. He's 92, 93, which was smoke back then in high school. And I just remember thinking, I will not get beat by the fastball. He tried to sneak one by me first at bat. I ripped it over to the third base dugout, kind of looked at him like, yeah, you ain't going to get that by me. Pitch two, he threw me an off-speed pitch, and I'm pretty sure I pulled something in my back, okay? But I wasn't going to get hit. It went on to strike out. But what I'm getting at, guys, is this. When God moves in our heart and he urges us to do something or he's up to something, it usually happens while we're doing what we already should be doing. I'm just looking and I'm reading through scripture and I'm in Exodus 3. Moses is about to get called from a burning bush by the living God to lead the Israelites out of captivity in Egypt. You know what he's doing? He is tending the flock with his father-in-law, Jethro. He is out there in obscurity doing the little things with excellence. Okay? You think about David and Goliath. We're in 1 Samuel 17. David, as we've probably heard before, slays the giant Goliath. You know what he was doing before that? Going back and forth, tending the flock for his father, taking supplies to his older brothers that were in the war. So there's two guys right here, two of the heroes of the faith that are just basically doing what they're supposed to do with excellence, and then God moves on them for a bigger task. And that goes back to our verse, whatever you do, do it from the heart as something done for the Lord and not for people. How easy would it have been for Moses to be like, man, this is stupid. I don't want to be out here tending this flock for my father-in-law. Heck, nobody likes working for their father-in-law anyway. So he's out there, but he did it with excellence because he knew he was working for God, not for his father-in-law. You think about David. What if he'd have just said, I don't want to take supplies to my brother today. I don't want to tend this flock well. But he didn't do that. God moved on him because he was blooming where he was already planted, working for God and not for man. And I think that's a huge thing. It's all throughout Scripture. People are doing what they're already supposed to be doing well when God calls them. That's kind of the premise of today. Be ready to hunt the Yeti. Go after the impossible. Do what God called you to do. But you usually won't get to that point unless you're doing what you already should be doing, which is not getting beat by the fastball. Okay? And even you think about Jesus, who was born in complete obscurity. We don't even know anything about him until he was 12 years old. One small recording in Scripture, and not much again until he's 30. God moves in people's lives when they're already doing what they should be doing. And I think I have a problem of saying, I'm not playing enough, or this isn't working out, or I don't have enough money, this and that. I'm just going to mail it in and do a halfway job because I'm not getting the results. When in reality, God says, you're working for me, not for man. I want you to do it with excellence. Austin, has there ever been a time like a little thing that you decided to start doing or some small changes you made that and you're just doing what you already should have been doing and it led to something else?
Yeah, one thing that comes to mind, and me and you've talked about this a lot in the past, being in ministry together, especially me starting out in ministry, but we always joke to each other and to other people, why did God call me and you into ministry? And if there's anyone in this world that's unqualified, it's me and you.
I would agree with that.
And, there's many people that would probably agree with that as well. But the one thing that sticks out to me, you talk about doing the small things and doing what we were already supposed to be doing, is coming into ministry. And that change my senior year in college that I made in my life, that I realized I was not doing what I was supposed to be doing, and I changed my life to live for Christ. So I just started doing what he was telling me to do, to be faithful, to follow him, to be in prayer, to love others, all that stuff. So I just started doing that stuff, and I felt the calling in ministry. And, you know, going into ministry, I kind of went into it blind. I had no past experience in ministry. I was literally straight out of college, so I had really no real work experience. But I knew that I was called to do this. So I just started out by just, you know, being trustworthy or trusting in him and having faith in him that he was going to bring me through all the challenges. And, you know, it started with me just doing the small things. And with ministry and the ministry I'm in, it's, you know, you raise your own funds. You have to build relationships. You have to, you know, do whatever it takes to get ministry started in the area that I was in. So I just started by putting my head down and doing the small things and trusting in him. And if, you know, there was many times starting out where I looked back and I was like, man, there's no way I can raise this amount of money to be able to do ministry full time. But I then realized and continued to remind myself that God's got me here for a reason. He's put me in this position specifically in this area. And if he's doing this, he's allowed all those doors to open, then he's going to bring me through it. I just have to trust in him. I have to do the small things, do the things that I can control, and understand that he's going to continue to provide and bless me as long as I continue to put him first and trust in him and his plan.
So you're saying that being faithful in small things maybe opened up the door for God to hand you greater things to be faithful in?
Yeah, yeah.
I think I've heard that before. Have you?
I have.
Luke 16:10, whoever is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And whoever is unrighteous in very little is also unrighteous in much. Because guys, listen, generosity is not something that happens when you have a lot of money or time. Generous people are generous regardless of the circumstances. Guys that grind, guys that work hard, guys that treat their teammates with respect, doesn't matter where you are, that's who you are. That's something that flows out of you. And that goes into being faithful with little. So I don't know where you are today. I don't know what type of season you're in, but I know this, that God calls us that whatever we do, do it from the heart. Because what we're doing is for God. It's not for people. And I know that whoever's faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And whoever's unrighteous in very little is also unrighteous in much. So whether you are Moses tending a flock for your father-in-law, and then God calls you to the greatest act in all of Scripture in the Old Covenant, or whether you're David tending a flock, shepherding a flock, taking supplies back and forth, and then God calls you to take out Goliath, or whether you're Austin and you decide to start making some small changes that lead to God opening doors, or whether you're me that finally learned how to hit that curveball to right field and then finally hit that fastball farther than I ever hit one in my life. Whatever that is, I just want to encourage you today to be ready for the impossible. Be ready for God to act. Be ready for whatever he calls you to. Hunt the Yeti. Be ready for that. But also bloom where you're planted. Do what you do with excellence. And don't get beat by the fastball. Hunt the Yeti, hit the fastball. Whatever you do, do it from the heart as something done for the Lord and not for people. Guys, I appreciate you joining us today for the Sunday 15. Austin, good word today, big dog. We will see you guys next time. Take it easy.